go back to 2 Corinthians 4 now. I fully intended to preach from for us to look at Psalm 133 together. I always prepare Wednesday night messages on Monday or Tuesday. I dare not wait till Wednesday. Anything could happen. But this scripture, these words, this message was born out of trouble. Woke up in the middle of the night last night, troubled, couldn't hardly sleep, got back to sleep, woke up again, the same troubles, not my own, but others. And other people's troubles are our troubles. We're told to bear one another's burdens, aren't we? So I was feeling very low, very sorrowful, and this scripture came to mind. I sat in the study today and began to read it, and it wouldn't go away. I hope you'll be glad. I hope this will bless everyone in general. I hope it will really bless someone in particular. Paul just wrote in verse 4 of the glorious gospel of Christ. The glorious gospel, the ministry, he preached the gospel and he was not ashamed of it. He gloried in the gospel. Glorious gospel. Glorious good news. That's what gospel means. Good news. Our message is not gloom and doom. It's good news. It all ends gloriously. Joy unspeakable, scripture says, and unspeakable and full of glory. Paul did have an advantage on us that he died briefly and went to glory, and he said, I heard things. And he came back. And from then on, he said, I'm ready to depart. Glorious. Those in Christ who have seen something of his glory, and you have, we have, will soon end up in glory with him. That's what he prayed, didn't he? Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And that's about all I can say about that. We have to wait and see. Verse 6 says, He hath shined. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who said, let there be light. He hath shined in our hearts, hasn't it? He has. We were in darkness even as others. So many in here, if not most, were in darkness even as others. But God said one day during the preaching of the gospel, said, let her see light. You remember Paul was on the road to Damascus. He was in religion, but he was in darkness. He was lost. But God, rich in mercy, says that suddenly a light shone round about him. Paul said, I was apprehended. Christ, the light of the world, apprehended him, laid hold of him, said, you're mine. And Paul, after seeing Christ, he saw Christ, he heard him, and he was called by him, he was commanded by him, he revealed himself to Paul. After seeing Christ, after beholding his glory, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, I don't want glory in anything else from here on out. Remember that? He said, God forbid that I should glory. It's like have you ever looked into the sun briefly, just looked at it briefly, and you look away, what do you see? Sunspots. You have a sunspot in everything. If we ever see Christ's glory, we won't see any glory in anybody or anything. Or at least it'll be far less. God's creation is glorious. Yes, it is. But it's all a picture of Christ. So he's shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. The treasure, the gospel treasure, Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hidden treasure. Kingdom of God is hidden in Christ. Hidden. He said up there in verse 4, if our, 3, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that lost, they're lost. God of this world blinded their mind. But he's opened our eyes and our mind. We see Christ, don't we? With the eye of faith. We don't see him with physical eye. The things that are unseen are eternal. That's who we're looking to and looking for and trusting in. The world says that's foolishness. Well, fine. Paul said we're fools for Christ's sake. Didn't we? But here's the fool who said no God. Here's the fool who's invested everything he has, his whole life, in perishing things of clay, born but for one brief day, like a sleep. That's foolishness. Here's wisdom. Set your affection on things above where Christ, the eternal one, sits. And we'll someday sit with him. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Back in 1 Corinthians 15, it says this, as is the earthy. 1 Corinthians 15 says, first man is of the earth, earthy, Adam. Second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. That's us. We're made out of clay. We're made from the dirt. We're going to go back to the dirt. As soon as our bodies hit the ground, they start going back to the dirt, the dust, which they're made. But as we're born the image of the earthy, verse 49, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And he goes on to say, that's going to happen. Twinkling of an eye. Trump's going to sound. And it shall sound, he said. Shortly. Real, any day now. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure, you know, we can't take it in. We're earthen. Our minds, our hearts can't take it in. Our Lord said, I have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them. You can't take them in. If we really were completely engulfed by the glory of God, we couldn't live here. We wouldn't want to live here. We've got just enough to whet our appetite and to make us long for it. We can't retain it. We can't fully realize it. We can't perfectly believe. We've got this thing called flesh that gets in the way. We can't see. The Lord knows it. He knows our frame. What are we? Flesh. He took flesh. He, can I say this, limited himself to flesh and lived by faith just like us. But he was a happy man with it. He only lived 33 years. Most of you are double that and more, aren't you? That's all he lived. That's a short life in it. That's very young in it. Did he live life to its fullest? Did he live life more abundant? But we're going to see he came to die. Now what do we know about that? That's why he came. That we might live. He wasn't born to live, he's born to die. We're born to die. And yet we're going to live because of Christ. We're clay pots. And he's referring to preachers. Paul, Timothy says we all through this. He's talking about Paul. He's talking about himself. He's talking about Silas, Timothy, Titus, Luke, the physician. Don't think he wasn't a preacher. But those four men traveled everywhere together. Were put in jail together. Were beaten together. For the gospel's sake. And they said, fine. If you just want to go back and read for yourself, 1 Corinthians 4, 6, on and on it goes, 2 Corinthians, all the troubles that they went through. And God brought them through all of them. All of them. And in a minute we're going to see, he says, it's light affliction. But he says, we're just clay pots. We have this excellent, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Isn't it true that sometimes you're so blessed by the preaching from a sinner an old railroader. There's a railroader. What, railroad is about as common as dirt. And if you work on it, you're going to be dirty. Cinders, smoke all over you. Has there ever been a time where you've been blessed by the preaching of this clay pot? And you know that, it's not that man. It's the Lord speaking to me through this man. That's how you know. That's how I know. Wait till we hear him preach. We talked about that Sunday, that he's going to clear everything up. We're going to hear him preach messages, and we're going to say, I never heard that before. Or not like that. The half wasn't told. We're just earthen vessels. And verse 7, because we're earthen vessels, we're troubled on every side. Bound to this earth, to this flesh, and we've got troubles on every side, before us, behind us, to the right, to the left. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Trouble-filled days. Troubles without. Wherever you go, with everybody. Troubles within. Troubles in the world. Troubles in your home. Troubles in your family. Troubles. Troubles of body. Pain, sickness, suffering by troubles of your mind, age, troubles of your mind, doubts, fears, worries. Wake up worrying. Troubles of heart and spirit. John Newton wrote this beloved poem. He says, 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? You ever think that? Troubles of heart, unbelief, our greatest trouble, isn't it? But he says we're not distressed. Now, Paul's speaking on behalf of himself and Silas and Timothy, but he has the same source, way of escape that we do, doesn't it? Same God, same Spirit, same Word, same promises. He had to live by faith, didn't he? And all they went through, we probably won't go through the troubles they went through, but they said, we're not in distress. Ships, now and years ago, whenever they got, they lost power or mast broke, sailed, and they floundering in high seas, they would send out an SOS, a distress signal. You know what that means? Save our soul. Save our soul. You remember the story of Paul, shipwrecked with all those men? He said, there's not going to be one soul lost. Believe me that. Brothers and sisters, we are in the ark, Christ Jesus. And like the ark of Noah, if this world is shaking and trouble, full of trouble, and the winds blowing, the storms of life, we're going to reach that land safe and sound. As soon as the Lord came in their ship, remember they were in tossed on that sea. As soon as the Lord got in their ships, they got to land. We're just beside them. Not in distress. Don't be distressed. Trust the Lord. We're perplexed. Paul said this. He said, we preach in part. We know in part. Paul had special revelations. He did. John, just right bosom, close to our Lord. Special revelation out. He said, but we're perplexed. We often ask, why? Why? Why is this happening? Why? Well, why? Often the only answer we can give is, it's the Lord. He doesn't give an account of his matters. David, though, said this, and I love Psalm 73, like Psalm 37, the inverted number. But David said, I was in such trouble. He said, I was ready to slip. I was envious at the prosperity of the foolish. He said, God's people in trouble. They're not in trouble like we are. We're all in trouble. He said, is this all in vain? He says, just painful to me. He said, till I went into the sanctuary. Because God's going to send you help from the sanctuary. Right here. Where the truth, not lies, the truth is prayed. Christ is true. And he said, I'm so foolish. He said, then I understood their end. That it all ends for the world. That this is their portion. And the Lord showed me through a preacher, probably Nathan, that he's my portion. And if God is my portion, he said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God's the strength of my heart and my portion forever. They're going to perish. But not me. Another place he said, he's going to call. I'm Job. He's going to call and I'm going to answer. And he's going to redeem my body, he said, from the grave. They're not in despair. In despair, the margin says altogether without help or means. You ever felt like you're in despair? Despair means nowhere to turn. Oh, brothers and sisters, we've always got a place to turn, don't we? Brother Ron read from Hebrews 4 tonight. It says you come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. When is that? Every day. He says, come boldly. You don't need to be in despair. You're not without help. He's an ever-present help in time of need. Verse 9, persecuted. Persecuted. That roaring lion. Peter said, Satan is a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Our Lord told Peter that. Peter, Satan that desired you. And I'm going to let him have you a little bit. Teach you a lesson. He did, didn't he? And Peter wrote in turn, he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Our Lord in Psalm 22 is a psalm of the cross. And it said, lions compassed me about. He prayed for deliverance from the mouth of the lion. And I was watching a video the other day. Broke my heart. One of these water buffalo. A pack of lions jumped on him. And they were literally eating him alive. And he laid down finally. And all those lions were just eating him. And he was bellowing for help. Broke my heart. Well, our Lord cried on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God didn't answer him. Why? So that we will never be forsaken. It says here, we're persecuted, but he's not going to let the lion have us. Why? Because he had Christ on Calvary's tree. And now, Christ has him on chains because of Calvary. We're not forsaken. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Christ was forsaken, that we will never be forsaken. Never. Cast down, verse 9. Cast down, but not destroyed. Cast down. Oh, we all get so downcast, don't we? One of my favorite psalms, again, is Psalm 42. David, throughout the psalm, he was troubled. He was so troubled. And he said to himself, I pour out my soul in me. I went with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept the holy day, but I was cast down. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. I'll yet praise him for the help of his countenance. One time he said, why art thou so far from my groaning? Is your mercy clean gone? Why do you hide your face, O God? He said, he'll help me. He'll be with me. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and billows gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. He said, why art thou cast down? He kept saying that in chapter 42 and chapter 43. He said, I will yet praise him. He's the health of my countenance. He's my God. Why art thou? We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Nothing is going to destroy us. Troubles won't destroy us. Tribulation, persecution, trials won't destroy us. They strengthen us. Strengthen what? Our faith in Christ. Our hope, patience, work experience, experience hope, these trials, work these things. Let patience have her perfect work. And we're troubled and perplexed and persecuted, cast down, but we're not destroyed. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, verse 10, he says, we're always buried about in the body the dying of the Lord. You remember the message on death, always delivered unto death. We're always ready to die. Remember that? We have the sentence of death in ourselves. All of us need to. Paul, Silas, they said, we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Paul said he literally had scars for Christ's sake. He did. And he was thankful for every one of them, knowing what Christ did for such a wretch as he persecuted Christ. He persecuted his people. He hailed, put his people in jail. Christ, who bore those scars for him. So when the time came for him, he was more than glad. He said, put scars all over me. I deserve them. I deserve hell. So he said, always bear about in our body the dying of the Lord, that the life, verse 10, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Christ Jesus, he's called Jesus here several times because he's talking about his humanity, how he lived on this earth, a testimony. How Jesus witnessed a good profession before Pilate and everybody and everything. He opened not his mouth. Took it patience. God's will. Scriptures even says, for the joy set before him. To suffer? Yeah. That's what he said. He says, given unto us, not only to believe, but to suffer. He said. And verse 11, he said, we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body, revealed. That is this eternal life. And Hebrews 11 is so a great cloud of witnesses. A great cloud of witnesses who went through, sawn asunder, stoned, burned, lion's den, women not accepting deliverance. Now that's not humanly possible. That's superhuman. That's of God. Only God can make, I told you about Bunyan, forsake his flesh for an unseen God. That's real. That's evidence of things not seen. Faith. Willing to lay down life for one you don't see. That's because he's a real person. He's not a doctrine. It's a person. We believe in a person, a real Lord. He's called our Father in heaven. Can't see him. I see his hand everywhere, don't you? I see his handiwork, don't you? Christ is called our husband. I call our brother. He's called our friend. Listen to this. A lady, a sister down in Bethel Baptist Spring Lake sent this to me from somebody's bulletin. On the story of the disciples in the storm, you know, and the Lord came walking and said, be of good courage. It is I. Be not afraid. Remember that? They all thought they were going to die in that storm. All of them. They were all scared to death. And then the Lord appeared and then they thought they saw a spirit. He said, be of good courage. It is I. Listen to this. Octavius Winslow, a long time ago, said, "Listen to the voice of our Lord in the storm. It is I who raised this storm, this tempest in your soul. I will control it. It is I who sent your affliction. I'll be with you in it. It is I who kindled the furnace. I watched the flames. I'll be in there with you. I'll bring you through it. It is I who formed your burden, and I will strengthen you to bear it. It is I who mixed your cup of grief and will enable you to drink it with meek submission to your Father's will. It is I who took from you all this worldly substance, who took from you your child, the wife of your bosom, the husband of your youth. It is I who took them, and I will be infinitely better to you than husband, wife, or child. It is I who have done it all. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. It is I, your friend, your Lord, your brother, your Savior. I'm causing all these circumstances in your life to work together for your good. It is I. It is I. Whatever it is, it is I. Be of good courage." Isn't that good? I'll put that in our bulletin. So, and Paul said this in verse 13, "We have the same spirit of faith that David had. David said, I believe and therefore have I spoken." You know how many battles David went through? How many scars he bore? How many fights? How much trouble he went through? Everywhere. And Paul said, "We believe too, and we've spoken. I believe." Do you? If you stood up right now, if I asked you to stand up, tell me, what do you believe? Could you? Could you speak? Testify. What would you say? In one word, your hope of glory is Christ. Every one of us. That's a good hope. It's a sure hope. The only reason it's called hope is we're not there, not there yet. But he's there, and he said, we're in him. Trust him. How are we not going to be cast down and destroyed and trust? Trust. What does trust mean? It means what it means. Just trust him, okay? And just wait. Submit. Wait, and you'll see. You'll see. You'll see him coming for him. So, verse 14, "Knowing that he that raised up, which raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you." With you. All things. See, he's telling them, Corinthians, they had all kinds of trouble. That church had all kinds of trouble. All sorts of sin in that church, wasn't it? Read it. But Paul said, we're saved the same way you are. By grace. We're not saved because we're apostles. We're not saved because we're good people. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. We're saved by the grace of God. We're kept, Peter said, we're kept by the power of God. And so are you. He's going to raise us up with you. Don't think of them as super Christians. They're just saved sinners. Okay? Yeah, maybe their faith was stronger than that, but the object of their faith is not stronger now. Maybe they had more assurance of that. They didn't have a more better hope than we did. Are you hearing me? All right, he said in verse 15, all things are for your sakes. Everything. Isn't that what Romans 8:28 said? All things. Didn't Paul write to us? In everything give thanks. While he was in jail, he said that. Boy, he and Silas proved it then. Let's give thanks, Brother Silas, for these stripes. Well, he gave thanks after that. All things for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. So many people, so much trouble. It's all been for the glory of God by them. Now, verse 16. For this cause, the cause of Christ, we faint not. We're not going to quit. Oh, brothers and sisters, most of us are right on the brink of Jordan. 70s and 80s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, and 80s. We're on the brink. Do you remember that message? On the people on the brink? Joshua 3? We're going to go in single file, not alone, but single file. And like the first man that died, Abel, who stepped in that river, raging river of death. If we could hear him, he'd say, it's okay. It's dry ground. It's solid rock. It's glorious. Come on. Follow me. We're going to. We're going to. Our outward man's perishing. Look in the mirror. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How? What you're doing right now. For our light affliction. Now Paul said this. And Silas. After all they went through. Works our light affliction. Well, how could he call that light? How could anything we go through be called light? It's deep sorrows, deep waters, deep trouble. Well, light in this sense, compared to what we deserve. I was thinking today, something came to my mind, hadn't come to my mind in years, something I did to hurt somebody when I was just a teenager. Oh, man. I wanted to die when I thought about it. I thought, Lord, why didn't you open the floor and send me to hell? And that's just one of many things I've done. Light compared to what we deserve. It's light compared to our blessings. Oh, the Lord blessed us. He sends just enough to make us not want to stay here. Just enough troubles, that is. Not that we won't be capable, can't bear them, but our light affliction compared to our blessings, they're light compared to the afflictions of some others, like Paul. Like a great cloud of witnesses. And their light, oh so light, compared to what our Lord went through. From his birth till his death, he was despised and rejected and hated and pursued and persecuted and afflicted. Everybody wanted him gone. Why did he do that? So their light, and that, but here's their light compared to the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why is it called a weight? I don't know, but it's just so great, so glorious. You know, he said he wouldn't send on us trials more than we could bear, a burden that we could not bear. But by the way, we're all told to help one another with these burdens. But our Lord is the one we cast all our care upon, our burdens upon. He's able to bear them for us, away from us, and one another. But it's such a great weight that bears upon us. Well, the opposite of that is the glory is going to be so great, so glorious, that in Isaiah 65, it says, the former troubles will never even come to mind. It will be so totally forgotten, it's like they never happened. We're all going to say, what troubles? Seriously, that's what it said. That's what we're all going to say. And he said, all things are for your sake. And Paul, our Lord said that in Isaiah 43. He said, I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba. You're precious in my sight. I've loved you. I've given men for your people, for your life. The whole world serves God's purpose and for God's people. You're kidding me. No, I'm not kidding you. That's the truth. It's all, but all things here to bring us to Christ. I love quoting Brother David. Brother David, are you hearing this? I love what you said. God's out to do us good. Whatever God's out to do, he gets done, doesn't he? I'm going to do you good. And it may not appear that way at the time, but believe him, trust him, and we'll see the eternal glory. So, verse 18, we look not at things that are seen, things that are not seen, but the things that are not seen. Things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. We put our beloved sister's husband in the ground the other day. It's been 2 months now. We all look down into that grave, don't we? We've put a bunch of bodies in the grave, haven't we? You remember when the ladies came to our Lord's tomb and they were looking in the tomb and the angel said, "Why are you looking in here? Don't look down. Look up. He's not here. You miss him, yeah. He doesn't miss you. And soon, you won't miss this. He won't miss anything. Don't look down. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Things that are seen are temporal. Dirt. We're looking into a grave. Oh, grave, we're going to say someday, where is your stake, thy victory? So he goes on. That's why we kept reading verse chapter 5. We know that this earthly house, this tent, is dissolved. We have a building. We have a temple, a house, not made with hands, eternal, a glorious body. And we groan, earnestly desiring to be rid of this body of death. Now he did say in verse 4, we're not just want out of our troubles, but we want mortality to be swallowed up in life. I'm ready to start living, aren't you? I'm tired of this death. Let me say this to young people, please. Don't be discouraged. God gives us all things richly to enjoy. There's nothing evil or wrong with things in themselves. Marrying, he's given us wives and husbands. It's a wonderful thing. We can't keep them. We won't keep them. Children, may give us children, may not. We can't keep them. Houses, land, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But eating and drink goes out in the drought. It's all temporary. And don't set your affection on things that don't last. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And when he takes them from you, he hasn't taken everything from you. If Christ is your all, you won't need anything else at all. So he says in verse 5 of chapter 5, now he that wrought us for this thing, made us preachers of the gospel, he's given us unto us the earnest of his spirit. And we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We walk by faith. Even the apostles walk by faith, not by sight, like our Lord did. But we're confident. Verse 8, I'm confident, Paul says, and you should be too, and willing, rather, ready, be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. My dad picked his funeral text years ago, hoping that it'd be preached sooner than later. He was earnestly desiring to be clothed on with immortality. And his text was, I'm ready to depart. The time of my departure is hand. I'm ready to depart. Fought a good fight. Kept the faith. Now I'm ready to depart. Ready to go. Get my bags packed. Treasures in heaven. Stand with me. I hope it gave some peace and comfort to somebody. Lord Jesus, thank you for your blessed word, your truth, your promises. Oh my. Only we partake of them. And our brother said, open our ears and our hearts to receive it. Plant these things. Let these sayings sink down deep in our ears and plant them in our hearts like a well of water springing up when we need them, when we're in trouble and perplexed and cast down. Your word like a spring of life, water in a thirsty land will come up from our hearts and nourish us and comfort us and soothe us and console us. Thy word is our comfort. Your word has been our comfort in all our affliction. It's good that we're afflicted. We might learn your statute. Before we were afflicted, we went astray. Thank you, Lord, for trials and troubles and afflictions as you're taking your people out of this place to a glorious eternal home. Let us look forward to that. Oh, what manner of people we ought to be, looking for, hasting the coming of our Lord Jesus. Make it so with us, we pray. Let us walk by faith, not by sight. Give us faith, trust. You're trustworthy. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.